career headlines.
Job vacancies have just been opened for job seekers in the UAE who are looking to work for companies or in the government in relation to the implementation of the value-added tax, or VAT. VAT managers, consultants, auditors, accountants, analysts and call center agents, among others, are now being sought after, with hiring expected to pick up as the launch draws closer. The UAE's Ministry of Finance, which oversees the rollout and administration of the new tax system, also announced that it's looking for new employees to join the tax administration team here in the UAE.
Every third candidate looking for management level positions fails due to lack of leadership and job related skills. That's according to a specialized recruitment consultancy, Robert Half. They found that a third of candidates looking to work in management level positions fail to demonstrate that they can effectively lead a team, while more than 3 in 10 fall short on functional job related skills. Meanwhile, 16% of job seekers lack communication skills and strategic planning expertise. 9% didn't have project management capabilities.
And new research by salary benchmarking site emolument.com has revealed that 8 out of 10 people are bored with their jobs. In comparing responses from 55 countries, it found that job satisfaction levels in the UAE are amongst the lowest in the world. The research indicated that professionals with very high salaries were more likely to tolerate boring jobs or companies even when working 6 days a week. That would make sense, wouldn't it?
We were talking about this yesterday. You didn't come up.
Oh, I didn't.
No, because you're not bored at work.
Of course not. And I'm also not rolling in a six-figure salary either. All right, so there are our career headlines for today. Let's introduce who we have in studio, or not in studio, actually, on the couches down here with us at the Western. Toby Simpson's back with us, the Managing Director of the Gulf Recruitment Group. Nice to see you, Toby.
Great to be here.
And also Stuart Walker, who's the partner at Afridi & Engle Legal Consultants. Nice to see you, Stuart.
Good afternoon.
So just before we get into our topic today, which is all about maternity, and we're talking about the rights, really. What are women due here in the UAE and the impact of maternity leave on employers? Toby, you've got a job of the week for us. So this is when you kind of look at everything that you've got listed with you and grab one thing, bring it into us, and just we're trying to help you out. If you're looking for a job and you feel like this is right up your street, this is of interest to you, please get in touch with us. Toby, today it's a junior finance role with a major European pharma firm. Can you just tell us more details, level of experience needed, for example, benefits? Go ahead.
Yeah, finally, after much request, we actually do have a junior role on today, and a really interesting one as well. Very large European pharmaceutical firm that does some really amazing life-saving products has got a small finance team, regional finance team here in the UAE, and effectively we're looking for a bright spark who will support all of the finance team. It's a wonderful training ground for an individual with maybe a year's experience, maybe a good solid finance degree behind them, to join a really strong team, do some really interesting things on the way to going through their qualifications in CIMA or ACCA.
Benefits, can you give us an idea of salary?
Well, actually, we're looking for a really strong individual here. So you might be surprised here that for a graduate role, they're talking about somewhere like 15,000 to 20,000 plus bonus. Now, that's very, very good for a graduate, but it gives you an indication of the quality of the individual that the company is seeking.
So okay. If you missed some of those details, just go to our website. They're all there, dubaii1038.com. Head to Drive Live and find Career Connect. So if you think you know anyone who may be interested, just send them there and they can get in touch directly with Toby and the account.
Do you know what, before we kick in with the topic today, it's something we were talking about yesterday, and we were surprised at the reaction on the text line, and it's the story that 8 out of 10 of us are bored in our jobs here in the Emirates. This is, I think we mentioned it just now, an emolument.com survey. Now, I thought that was really out of whack. So what we did was a quick straw poll, and it was kind of 50-50. I think, you know, we got quite a lot of honesty on the text line yesterday. I'm wondering, Toby, what you're seeing at the moment. You're kind of at the front line, if you like. Do you think that figure stacks up? 8 out of 10 of us are bored at work?
I think if I ask the people before I interview with them whether they're bored in their current position, and then afterwards, I'd have a very different reaction. The reason why is we don't really tend to reflect too much on our own positions. We just kind of have this feeling that the grass is greener on the other side, or I should be doing more with my life, or something like that. But very, very rarely people are actually interviewed. And one of the pleasures, it's almost like a psychologist couch. People relax into it. And then they start remembering the challenges they're facing. They start remembering some of the strategic initiatives they've brought up. They start remembering some of the successes or how good it is to work with these particular colleagues. The forefront of your mind, almost because you take it for granted, you don't really look at the good things that are happening to you right now. You only kind of focus on what's missing. So I think 80% is high, but let's be honest, none of us have a perfect role and we could always be doing something slightly more exciting. So maybe that figure is 50-50.
I mean, it's a very difficult thing to do because it really depends, I suppose, on the day. And we all have good days and bad days at work. And we all know that. And I think most of us are honest enough and we would admit that. Stuart, what do you think of that figure? If I said to you 8 out of 10 people are bored at work, what would your immediate reaction be to that? How would you respond?
I think I would agree with that. I think 8 out of 10 people are bored at some points at work. We don't pay our employees a salary because they come bouncing in full of enthusiasm every day. It's because there is work to be done and they need to be compensated for it. And if some of that work is a little bit dry from time to time, then that's just the nature of our industry.
I mean, it is taking the rough with the smooth, isn't it, as much as anything? You've got to be realistic. Not every second at work is going to be full of vibrancy, and it's just a joy to be there. That's fine. There is a certain amount of drudge in any position. It just struck me that 8 out of 10, I think it was 83%, so slightly higher. I kind of thought, I don't know, I don't feel that way, usually.
Especially when I'm around, right, Timbo? Yeah. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk about that. If you have any thoughts, please let us know on 4001. We're here at the ARN Business Club, the Arabian Radio Network Business Club, here at the Western Minasiyahi. You can come down and say hi. We're here through till 7 o'clock tonight. Plus, most importantly, don't miss out. This is really your opportunity this hour to speak to Stuart about any kind of employment legal issues you may be facing at the moment. If you know someone who's in a kind of a bind at the moment and doesn't know where they stand when it comes to the law, more Career Connectors.
Broadcasting live from the ARN Business Club 2017.
This is Drive Live, only on Dubai Eye 103.8. Stay one step ahead.
Our topic really is maternity rights. What are women due here in the UAE? Let me reintroduce who we have. Toby Simpson from the Gulf Recruitment Group and Stuart Walker, who's from Afridi and Angel Legal Consultants. Nice to have you both in. So I suppose we should just jump straight in. I know, Tim, you tried to get as far as possible into this topic last week, but there was just so much to say. So we thought we'd tackle it again this week. Maternity rights, what are the laws, actually, and what's the impact of maternity leave on employers? So it's not just about the employee perspective today, it's also on the employers as well. And the reason why we're talking about this is because of this new law that's going to come into effect on the 1st of March this year, that maternity leave for all government employees will increase to 3 months with full pay. And the new law will also allow breastfeeding mums to take off 2 hours a day to accommodate for this. Now, Stuart, I suppose we'll start with you. From a legal perspective, that new law for government employees is coming into effect within a matter of days, really, 10 days or so. It will be in effect. Can you just talk us through what the difference is now between being a government employee on maternity leave and for the private sector?
Sure. The basic position for all female employees is governed by the UAE Federal Labour Law, a very old law dating back from 1980, which says that all female employees, pregnant female employees, who have served at least 1 year are entitled to take 45 days maternity leave with full pay. So that has been on the books for years and years and years. Now that's a basic entitlement. Different companies, different organisations, and in this case the government sector, are free to grant enhanced rights to their employees if they wish. But the basic position is 45 days full pay.
And that basic position of 45 days is 45 days including weekends, is it not?
That's absolutely correct. It's 45 days and there is some flexibility. It's not from the date of birth. If the lady wants to take a week off before the birth, for example, because she's physically uncomfortable, then that's okay as well, subject to agreement with the employer. And in my experience, most employers are going to be very flexible around something like that. But it's 45 days, calendar days, you're absolutely correct. Yeah.
Toby, in your experience with employers here in the UAE, the private sector, what are they offering now in general? Are most companies offering over and above this 45-day limit?
No, I wouldn't say that most companies do, but some companies will do it because they have a kind of a, let's say, a kind of a global initiative that they want to retain more of their talent in the workforce. Now, this is ultimately what maternity is it's a retention tool to make sure the intellectual capital in your business doesn't flee, post-maternity leave. And there are statistics that show that if you give maternity leave, women are far more likely to remain with your company or certainly remain engaged in the workforce in one way or another than they are if you don't. Those statistics are actually very marginal. And all of this has come about, as you say, well, there's been some wonderful conferences recently talking about the contribution of women in the workplace. But here's my kind of gripe on this, and when people are going to start shouting at their radio and sending in angry texts and bring it.
We look forward to those angry texts.
good. I'm a small business owner, and back in 2009, now I'm not talking about the UAE because I think at the moment it's minimal and it's not too much of an imposition on any business. But back in 2009, there were three of us. And if one of us decided to disappear off for 52 weeks on paid maternity leave or paternity leave, whatever it might be, I probably wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't be here in the same situation. And I think what gets to me is there seems to be an attitude out there that this is a right and not a benefit. Now, this is a benefit that companies offer for a very practical and real reason, not a right. And I don't like the griping around it, and I don't like the assertions that because it's good for mother and baby and father, that the company should be expected to pay more. We do it for a reason. It's to retain you. And let's not start demanding more rights than are absolutely practically and commercially necessary.
But then what is necessary? You have to pinpoint exactly what is necessary. Is 45 days enough for a mother who's just had a child? I'd say it really isn't anything like enough for most mothers in most instances. So you have to come down to a reasonable level of what is right and what is also for the mother and what is also right for the organisation, for the company, Stuart, don't you?
I think it's very interesting if you look internationally about bare minimum legal rights around the world. Now, the UAE has this 45-day basic pay, which is not hugely generous by modern international standards, but is well in advance of many, many countries, including, and this one surprises quite a lot of people, the US. In many US states, there is no right to maternity leave, paid maternity leave.
When we come back, why don't we look at whether or not there should be different laws when it comes to SMEs and larger organisations? Because I totally feel what you're saying there, Toby. My dad is a small business owner, and he's always felt the same way. If he loses just one staff member, he takes a massive hit. And that's a big deal for a small business, but maybe not so much for a larger company. So we'll come back and talk about that. If you have any thoughts about maternity leave in the UAE or maybe elsewhere around the world, what you've been through, what you've experienced, let's get straight back into Career Connect. Toby Simpson is here from the Gulf Recruitment Group to answer your career questions, and Stuart Walker is here from Afridi and Angel Legal Consultants to ask any kind of employment-related legal questions. Please get them in. They're only here until 6 o'clock, so 4001, that's how to get in touch. Let's continue with our conversation about maternity rights here in the UAE. Just before we went to the news there, Toby, you were saying it's difficult for small businesses or small and medium businesses to give a lot of time off to certain employees because they just can't deal with those kind of extra costs, and they lack a person. They're missing a person for a substantial amount of time. So what is the answer to this? I suppose this is a question for you, Stuart. Legally, can we find a balance here, do you think? Is there somewhere else in the world, a country else in the world, who have implemented laws that are different for small and medium-sized businesses? Small and medium-sized enterprises get this law, and then the bigger corporations get another law. Does that happen anywhere else when it comes to maternity leave?
I'm not aware of that happening in other countries. It may, but the situation here is actually slightly worse than we've alluded to already. The legal entitlement is 45 days with pay, and then a further 100 days on top of that if the mother or child is ill in any way. Now, the reality is that it's very easy for people who want to take another 100 days to go along to the doctor and say, I'm not feeling quite 100%, or baby's not 100%, give me a sick note for another 100 days. So it becomes 145 days, which is really difficult for a small business.
It is very difficult. Is that 100 days based, is that on a sliding scale of whether you're paid or not, or is that on full
pay? No, that's unpaid. But it's the time away from the organisation that's difficult.
And you're saying that there are often misunderstandings when it comes to the law here. So someone will come back and ask the company, okay, can I take this extra 100 days? And then they write a month later and say, I didn't get my salary for this month. So what's the deal there? What happens?
I think it's the sort of emotive issue around maternity leave and pay, and the fact that maybe some line managers here in the UAE might not have the support of a large HR organization that they may have in their home jurisdiction. So when the employee, the nursing mother, comes to her boss and says, listen, I know I'm supposed to come back to work next week, I just don't feel ready, can I have another month off? The boss says, yeah, sure, that's fine. And then the relationship between the two, it's never documented, it may not be reduced to writing. And ambiguities creep in. We see a lot of problems in practical terms around this issue.
People questioning whether when they haven't been paid for that 2 weeks, they're under the assumption that they will be paid even though they're taking extra time off. Is that the kind of thing?
That can be part of it. And so then, particularly if it's a first-time mother, they may be uncomfortable about coming back to work. Then they feel they haven't been paid for their maternity leave. Then it becomes an employment dispute. And that's an unfortunate end to the employment period.
Toby, when women in a certain age bracket come to you looking for a job, say, you know, 25 to 35 or even a little bit older, do you find here in the UAE that a question is often asked from companies, are you looking to have a family anytime soon?
I've got to say I've never heard that's happened. But I wouldn't be surprised. People are smart enough not to kind of ask that question or do anything about it. But if a lady starts looking for a job and is, let's say, suspiciously robust, they might, at the back of their mind, have some questions for them. I think Stuart's point was a very interesting one, because one of the major problems, it was also pointed out by the founder of Green and Blacks, who wrote a very interesting article on this, is the biggest problem we face as in business is we can kind of handle, let's say, 60 days paid, 60 days unpaid, as long as we can plan exactly for that and we can make allowances. Now, the two issues we face is that, I think there was an article from the US that's saying when people give maternity leave, 28% of people taking parental leave don't come back. Now, that means you're given, unless you're warned about this in advance, you have very little lead time to fill what might be an incredibly important position within your company. Now, specifically from the UAE, the reason we might suffer a bit more is actually getting maternity cover on the temp market. We don't have a flexible labour market over here. If you're in Australia or if you're in the US or Canada or anywhere around the world, it's very possible to hire somebody on a six-month contract. It's possible, but it's expensive and there isn't a lot of availability to do it here in the UAE. So it actually means that you either have to hire another full-time person to cover that position, or you just kind of, everyone has to muck in a bit more and do more work to cover the missing hours.
Let's move on to the way regulations are changing here in the Emirates. And this conversation comes about because there is a new law coming into effect on March the 1st. All Dubai government employees are affected by this positively. Maternity cover will increase. I'm wondering, sir, and I think I've asked you this before, so I'll have to rephrase this as though I haven't asked you this before, but things like this do point to potential changes that could affect more and more of us. I think that's reasonable to say. This is the government, effectively, the public sector, to all intents and purposes, taking a lead, is it not?
This is Dubai government, yes. Actually following the lead taken by the Abu Dhabi government,
yeah,
who announced a similar initiative recently as well. So the way I see this is actually two organizations giving their employees enhanced rights, just as it would be free to any business in the UAE to give their employees enhanced rights. It's just slightly peculiar that it's two of the main government institutions in the UAE saying, we don't think the federal labor law is sufficient for our employees. Now, if those two organizations feel that strongly, then I think you're right. Hopefully we may see some changes to the federal labour law that would apply across the board.
Just going to jump straight into the text line here. First of all, just traffic very briefly from Bhaskar, saying there's a lot of traffic near Airport Road heading towards Sharjah. But if we jump into the text about maternity leave, let's start here. We are talking about this because of this new law that's coming into effect for government employees, that they can now take off 3 months paid work. Now, Umang writes in and just has a question for you here, Stuart. Legally, says, I believe that presently there is a one-hour reduced time available for all employees up to a 1 year post-delivery. Is that the case as well?
Employees have a right to take breaks for nursing. It's not reduced hours generally.
Is that an hour per day that they can get?
I believe that's
And that's
correct,
in the government and private sector, is it?
The new law gives the government sector double the rights that everyone else has.
Okay.
Here's another text for you. And this is an odd one, once more for you, Stuart. Hi there, just a question. Is it against the law to get a new mother to sign a form to say that if her services are not required when she would like to come back to work, that a company isn't obliged to take her back?
I would say that's an absolute no-no. If I was advising a lady in that position, I would say let's sue for constructive dismissal and claim for arbitrary termination.
Really? Okay. Toby, this one's for you. This is harking back to what you were talking about earlier on. You assumed you would actually receive these texts. They are coming in for you now.
Yay.
Little bit of abuse for you. Okan writes in and says, I disagree with Toby. It's not a benefit only, talking about how you were saying a lot of people expect maternity leave and it's not. They don't just expect it as a benefit now, an additional benefit. Okan's saying it's not just a benefit, it's also a right, because by granting such leave, the company keeps or tries to keep that female employee. Otherwise, the company will be in fluctuation. It's a win-win agreement. What do you reckon?
It is a win-win agreement, because there are statistics that show that if you give people decent maternity leave, they are more likely to be, only by 6%, but they're more likely to be working for you in a year's time than if you don't give that benefit. My gripe was nothing to do with this. I do believe it's a win-win, and I do believe that parental provisions should be made. It's this, what I disagree with, is a lot of the articles I've been reading saying it should be a right for people to have 52 weeks. It should be, mothers play a very significant role in society, and absolutely they do. And from a macroeconomic perspective, from a governmental perspective, I think it makes a great deal of sense, because you're trying to increase the productivity of your nation by trying to maximize the amount of your workforce that's engaged. What I think people should consider is, who's paying for this? And should these rights only be determined for, let's say, maternity? Or if, let's say, for whatever reason, infertility rates rise and you can't have a child, but you choose to go and support a charity in a developing nation. Should this right be a universal right? I saw one company that lumped it in with disability. I don't agree with that at all. But this is a personal choice. Unlike an education leave, this is a personal choice that people are making to have a family. And although companies should completely agree and support that choice, perhaps other choices should also be supported by the company, to a point that it's not detrimental to the company's commercial profitability.
Let's move on to some general texts coming in. This one's for you, Stuart, on an employment legal matter. How serious is the non-compete clause in various employment contracts, especially if in a niche specialisation? Do companies in the UAE tend to enforce that clause often?
It's very common to see it in employment contracts. As a practical matter, it's extremely difficult to enforce.
Okay, so if you really needed to move across, then you just have to take that risk.
Yes, although I would never advise anyone to deliberately breach a contractual term that they had agreed to.
Can I bring in a text for you, Toby? Most of this conversation, I think, this person disagrees with. What nonsense, except the gent who says people gripe as they think maternity leave is a right. Let's remember, backing up lots of your opinion, it's the individual who makes the choice to start a family. So why should it be mandatory for all companies to give and pay maternity leave? There you are. It's not all hatred for you today.
Do you know what?
Like the controversy.
Let's just finish up with one question, if you can wrap this up in 30 seconds or so. Toby, this one's in from Hassan. He wants some advice here. I want to know how to become a non-executive director. Is that correct? Or an executive director having 26 years of banking experience, Hassan?
Okay, there are certain roles on the board, and the one that normally points towards banker is the audit committee, unless you're supporting. Bankers often go in for a couple of reasons. Either if you're very financially literate, you end up on the audit committee, or if a company wants an independent director to take them to a certain aim. For example, a lot of independent directors will be appointed because they have a very good knowledge of pre-IPO situations or taking a company to IPO, and they'll advise and oversee the board from that perspective. Look at the governance that boards need to undergo, understand that, and understand where you fit in.
Toby Simpson's the Managing Director of the Golf Recruitment Group. Nice to have you in, Toby.
Great to be here.
And Stuart Walker, Partner at Efridi and Angel Legal Consultants. It's nice to see you in again, Stuart. Thank you so much for coming in.